Parshas Shoftim, Beis Tefillah, Tofshin Ein He. We have now entered the month of Elul, and Rabbi Saul Salanter writes in his O Yisrael that it used to be when people would hear the word Elul, they would be seized by Palotzus. Palotzus is an extreme fear, and people will be so affected by merely hearing the word Elul. Why is it by us we're so calm and we seem to be unaffected? Where's the charoda? We don't have the fear, the pachad. He gives various answers. He says the main answer is timtum ruchani. We spiritually covered. It's a timtum that our veras do to us. Our parsha starts off by saying, "Shoftim v'shoytrim titen lecho bekol shorecho." We must appoint judges and shoytrim to carry out the judgment. Titen lecho bekol shorecho. The Shlo already says, points out, and I saw Rav Moshe Feinstein makes the same diuk. He says, "Shoftim v'shoytim titen lecho." You should appoint for yourself shoftim v'shoytrim. The Medrash Rabbah on the spot brings on this pasuk shoftim v'shoytrim. He brings the words of Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei, where Shlomo HaMelech says, "Leich." A lazy person should go and observe the ant, the namala. See its ways and turn wise. The ant doesn't have any ruler who's looking after him, standing over him, yet Tochin b'kayitz lachmo, the ant prepares in the summer when there's food. It prepares its food. Ogro b'katzir ma'acholo, it stores away in the harvest time its food. Says the Medrash, Ma'ro Shlomo l'lamed l'otze min anamolo. What did Shlomo find in the ant that he wanted to teach to the lazy person? Says the Medrash, the ant only lives for 6 months. Food the ant needs for his lifetime is a chita or mechza, a kernel of wheat, 1.5 kernels of wheat is what the ant needs to sustain itself for her lifetime. Now, what does he actually do? Says the Medrash that in fact, is all the time he's storing food for the winter. And the Medrash says they once opened up an anthill, they found 300 core of food that the ant has stored away. Huge amounts. Why does the ant store so much food away? It only needs a chita or mechta, it only needs a kernel and a half. It's only going to live for 6 months. Says the Medrash, because the ant says, Shema yigzor olai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chaim. Maybe Hashem will decree for me some more life. And what will I eat? Therefore, even though the ant, so to speak, knows that it's only going to live for 6 months, yet the ant says, well, maybe I will live. Maybe I will continue to live. So therefore, he stores the food away, just in case. Says the Medrash, therefore says Shlomo HaMelech, Go to the ant. The lazy person should go to the ant, and then atem, learn from his ways. Afatem, store away for your long life. What should we store away in this world? The Torah and the mitzvahs. We have to store away for the world to come. We should have what to eat in the world to come. That's what the Medrash says. Rabbi Lo Pian, in a Sefer Levi Yo, makes an interesting observation. Shlomo HaMelech is talking to the lazy person. He's saying, learn from the ant not to be lazy. Don't be lazy. Work. The ant works and stores his food away. You should also do the same. So we would expect Shlomo HaMelech to say, Leich and Namala Otzeil, Re'eh Drocheo, V'his Dareiz. Which Shlomo HaMelech is trying to help the Otzeil to be what? The opposite of lazy. What's the opposite of lazy?
Industrious, ambitious.
Industrious. Oh, that's a good word. Right. That's what we should say. Zoriz. Yet, Shlomo HaMelech says, Re'eh Drocheo, V'chachom, and turn wise. Says Abel Lopian, that means a lazy person, he's really a tipesh. The opposite of being zoriz is being a tipesh. What does that mean? Because a lazy person also knows the outcome of his actions. He also knows in his mind what's going to be. If you're lazy and don't store food away, you're going to be hungry eventually. He knows that. But he prefers not to think. He prefers to live the moment. That's a tipesh. And that's what the Medrash is teaching us. Don't be a tipesh. Learn from the Namala. And the Namala doesn't have a katzin or moishel. The Namala doesn't have someone over him. And yet, therefore you, and it still, it does what he does and thinks ahead. The Namala is always planning ahead. A person who knows, we all know in our mind, we know what's going to be. We all know that we're going in for din. Yet, we're tipshim. And that's what Rabbi Saul tells us. It's the tumor that we have, of our veras, makes us just not to think, makes us sleep well, relax, enjoy the moment, instead of thinking ahead. And that's exactly what the pasuk is teaching us. Learn from the Namala and be a chochem v'chachom. Chachom means understand. Don't be a tipesh. Think. Realize what's going to happen. Act accordingly. Like the Namala understands that there's going to come a time where there'll be no more food, and he stores his food away in a very industrious way. We also, that's the message for man, a chaskamo v'kamo, when a person knows that the opportunities he has now are not going to be in the future. In Olam Haba, you can't, it's too late. As the Medrash brings the Mishle, like Olam Haba is compared to sailors who sail in the sea. Whatever you didn't stack up on land, you don't have. All you have on your ship is what you took with you from land. Olam Hazeh is like the land. And the same thing for us in Chodesh Elul, where we all know what's going to be. We all know we're going to go to Yom HaDin. But we're still calm and relaxed. We're like the Otzer who sleeps well. He sleeps well, he doesn't think. And that's the message for us. It's Sheftim v'Sheitrim. Titein l'cho. Every person has to be a Shefet to realize what's going to happen, judge himself, and be a Sheiter on himself to carry out what we know. And Bezad Hashem will be Zoyche. It's a wonderful din this year. The pasuk continues in pasuk Yutes, Lo yisatem mishpot, Lo yisakir ponim, Velo yisikach shoychad. A person, the judge, must not tilt the din. He mustn't take bribes. In order that the judgment should be right and fair. But the pasuk adds another requirement: lo yisakir ponim. Don't show favoritism. What's being added by the pasuk? We already said lo yisate mishpat, not to tilt the judgment. We're already going to say, don't take bribes. What has been added by Lo Yisakir upon him? Says Rashi. Lo Yisakir upon him. Af b'shas hata'anos. even before the actual verdict, the judge must be careful. Azara l'dayon shlo yerach l'ze v'kosher l'ze. He mustn't be tough on one party and soft on the other party. One party, he says, stand up when you speak to the judge. And the other party, he lets it sit down. He's being tough on one side and soft on the other side. Why? What's it got to do with the verdict? Because the fikisheroyesh adayon mechabed es chaveroi, when he sees the dayon being respect the other side, mistat min ta'anoisov, the claims he has to defend himself for his case, he's not going to claim properly because he's giving up. He thinks that the dayon, the judge, his favor is tilting to the other side. Not true, but that's what the way he thinks. Therefore, he's not going to claim and fight for his case as well as he would have if he would think that the judge is not biased. We learn a tremendous insight over here, that if a person doesn't think he can make it, if he doesn't think he has a proper chance, he shuts down, he gives up. And it's another very important message for Elul. The Chas v'Shalom, we shouldn't think that our case is a lost case. We tried so many years. Because then mistatmin ta'anoisov. You must realize that the Chesed and the Rachamim and the Av of Hashem is waiting for us to come. In Perek Yudzayin, Pasuk Vav, we learn about the witnesses in a judgment. Chapter 17, Pasuk Vav. When we have a judgment for a case of death, that someone needs to be killed, we need to have two Eidim or three Eidim. But you must appear Eid Echad, not by one Eid. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chof Hei Amud Beis, talks about Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were taking a walk in the streets, and they see with their own eyes how Reuven is taking a knife, running after Shimon. They warn him, don't do that, you'll be killed. And he says, I don't care. And he plunges the knife into Shimon and he kills him. They saw with their own eyes how Reuven murdered Shimon. Even though they see, says Rabbi Tarfon, from this week's parsha, from the pasuk al pishnayim eidim ushloisha eidim yom hasameis, you have to have testimony. Therefore, even though the Sanhedrin saw with their own eyes, two of them must step down and testify to the rest of the Sanhedrin. You have to have eidus. This week's parsha. Fine. Shittas Rabbi Tarfon. Two of them will testify. The rest of the Sanhedrin will judge the case and kill him accordingly. Sorry?
Can they judge with their lives? The other one saw.
Okay, what's wrong with that? Is that called bias? Why is that bias? They know the truth. Why is that called bias? What could be better? They're not relying on other people. They saw their own eyes. Why is that called being biased? It's emes lamito. Who could be better? Huh? They know the truth. Is it wrong knowing the truth? Okay. You're saying very good. That's Shittas Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva says, all the Dayanim who saw the murder, the old apostle, they cannot judge the case. All of them. Says Rabbi Akiva, Kulam Nasim Eidim, they all saw, Ve'ein Eid Nasir Dayan, they cannot judge the case. Ask the Gemara, why not? What's the difference, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the case where they saw the murder happen, that they cannot judge him? In the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, the Mishnah says, if Sanhedrin were taking a walk and they saw the moon, the new moon, the Sanhedrin came in with Kiddush HaChodesh. Even though they saw, they can still go ahead and decree that the new month has started.
One's bad and one's good.
One's what?
One, one's gonna hurt the person, and one's good.
Good, most high, good. You're saying good. So that's the Gemara's question. Ma'ishno kiddush ha'chodesh, that the Eidim, the Dayanim who saw, can judge, and ma'ishno the case of Yuma Sameis, the case of murder, that the Dayanim cannot testify. Answers the Gemara. The answer is because there's a special din of v'shoftu ha'eda v'itzilu ha'eda. There's a special din. The Torah demands that try and save the murderer. And kevan dechazuha, since the Dayanim saw with their own eyes how Shimon plunged the knife into Reuben's back and killed him, they cannot find any positive sides in Shimon and Reuben anymore. They're hot. They're angry. They're upset. They're shocked. They cannot judge him favorably and find the good sides of the murderer. Therefore, the all possible, we have to bring new Dayanim in who didn't see the case, they didn't see with their own eyes, they're not upset, and maybe they can find positive sides and save Reuben, save the murderer. V'shoftu eida v'itzilu eida. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, which is in line what you were trying to say, that therefore, the all possible, in eid nasa dayan, all possible, since they saw with their own eyes, they cannot judge him. It's a bias, not that they're going to give a wrong verdict, but they can't find his positive side. No. What's it got to do with us? We always try and bring things which are connected, which have a message. Ah, mazon oge eleinu. Sorry?
We can find our positive side, we can always show that.
So, Rabbi Sai, you know, all of us, are all going to go into a life and death judgment. Within the next month, Rosh Hashanah, you all stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi yichye, mi yomuz, mi bekitzoy, mi loy bekitzoy, mi be'esh, mi b'mayim. We're all going to go through a life and death judgment. Rabbi Sai, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a din v'tzilu ha'eda, Hashem wants us to save the Vadai murderer. It's not a sophic what he murdered. We know 100% he's a murderer. He was warned and he went ahead, he's a murderer. Magialo. He deserves to be killed. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'hitzilu ha'eda, we've got to find his positive sides. How much more so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to find our positive sides? We're also going through a life and death judgment. By us also applies v'hitzilu ha'eda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to find our good sides. So what should we do about it? Let's give him good sides to look at. That's what Elul's for. Let's be mischazek. Everyone will improve themselves. Will work upon themselves. Do tshuva. Maisim toivim. Tzedakah. Tefillah. All these things are... Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking for them. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have these good sides. V'yitzilu eido. And that's what I said before. Chas v'shalom which in situation shemistat min ta'anoisov. You think the Dayan's favoring the other side, you kind of give up. Chas v'chalila. The Dayan's on our side. He's favoring us. He wants us. Tzilu eido. What we have to do is wake up. Not to be the otzel, not to be the tipesh who doesn't think. To be like the namala. Work hard, utilize our elu. We still have 3 plus weeks left. Utilize them. And store stuff away for our mishpat and know that Hashem wants us. Hashem's happy for us. He's looking for our good sides. Let's give him more and more good sides to look at, which is zeicha in the mishpat. The very end of this week's parasha, we learn about the Egla Arufa. The Egla Rufa is a case where a dead body was found, a murdered body, a cholol, a corpse who was murdered was found. We don't know. We have no clue to who is the murderer. So we measure the skenim of the nearest city. Have to come and measure. The Sanhedrin come and measure from the corpse to the nearest city. And which, by the way, the Chizkuni explains the reason why we do that is we make a whole matzav, whole balagan in the Sanhedrin. It should be in the news. Why? Because we need to know who this person is. This person is not speaking, right? Who is he? He has a wife somewhere who's an aguna. She's going to be waiting. She doesn't know where her husband is. She's going to be waiting for her husband to come back home. He's not going to come back home ever again. We don't know. We need to pass the information to her that your husband's dead. So we make a whole matzav, a whole balagan, that hopefully the word will get out. Maybe someone will be able to tell her that your husband is killed and you don't need to be an aguna. That's what the Chizkuni, that's how he explains this whole process. But anyway, says the Torah that the skenim from the nearest city, they come, we bring the Egla Rufa, it's a calf, we chop his head off, and they wash their hands and they say the following. This is in Maftir, in Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Very end of the parasha. And the Skenim say this most baffling statement. These are the Skenim of the nearest city, the Tamidei Chachomim, the Zikni Ador who live in the nearest city, Tzadikim, Ugoinim, and they come and say the following. Va'anu va'anu, Yadeinu loy shafchu es adam hazeh, Ve'ineinu loy ro. It wasn't our hand that spilled the blood. This spilled blood. It wasn't us. It wasn't our eyes that didn't see. It's a strange confession. Did we really think that the Skenim are the ones who committed murder? Is that what we really thought? That they come and confess and say it wasn't us? Apella. Rashi says, Rashi asked the question, and says Rashi, "V'chi also aleiv shezikne beizdin sheifchei dami meim." Did we really enter? Did we rethink of the idea? Did it pass our mind that maybe the skenim are the ones who killed? Rather, says Rashi, "Eloi reinuhu upatanuhu beloi mazenos ubeloi levir." What they're saying is that we didn't see him in the city, and didn't supply him with food, and we didn't accompany him. That's what they're confessing about. We didn't see him. And the question is, Ma Kesher, let's say they did see him and not give him food. What does it have to do with the price of cheese? We have a guy was murdered in the field. On the way he was murdered. Ma Zekashur, how's that connected to if in the city they did offer him food, they didn't offer him food? The Torah Tmima, his explanation is that maybe he was hungry and weak, he wasn't given food, and therefore when the murderer came, he wasn't able to fight back to defend himself. That's how the Torah Tmima explains. The Saba mi Slabotka, he has a different explanation, similar but different. If we have two people who are sick, you have two people in the hospital bed, they both have the same condition, they're both suffering from the same illness, they're both identically weak, in the same situation, but one patient's chances of recovering are high, and one patient's chances of recovering are low. Even though medically they're both in the very same place, what is it dependent on? Any ideas? Wonderful. State of mind. Exactly. Wonderful. One patient, he's very hopeful. He he hopes and he wishes and he appreciates that he wants to recover. He has a wife and family. He wants to very much to continue, and he's willing to suffer and to recover. He's willing to do anything the doctors want him to do. He says, please do them, and he's very hopeful. Versus the other patient, he's already had enough. Why can the Malach HaMoviz take me out of my misery? Had enough. I'm not going to recover. What's the point? Who needs to live? So even though they're both clinically in the same place, but the fact the person wants to succeed, wants to recover, his chances of recovery are much higher than the one who doesn't want to recover. And therefore, says the Altman of Vardok, Mislabotka, this guy came to town. He had food, he wasn't hungry. But you know what? No one looked at him. The political word today is called shakuf. Transparent. He was transparent. No one even looked at him. He was just a piece of air. No one came over to him and said, Shalom Aleichem. Could I offer you a cup of tea? Could I give you something to eat? No one accompanied him as he was leaving. He felt like a bit of dirt. Who am I? I'm a garnished. I'm a nothing. Garnished, the Yiddish is lots of nisht. I'm a big nothing. I'm lots of nothing. So he felt like a shmata. No. He was on the way, walking slowly, and it came a ritzeach. He didn't resist properly. He was an ebuch. He was down. He was upset. So therefore he got killed. It could very well be that had he been respected, had he come to the city, the nearest city, and someone said, Shalom Aleichem, where are you from? Could I offer you a cup of drink? Could I give you some food? Could I accompany you? It would have felt so important. Oh, people look up to me. I'm someone. He would have felt top of the world. And therefore when the Ritzeach would come to him, he would have given him a punch in his nose and knocked him down. And that's what his kenim are b'misvade. Yodeinu lo shofru es adam hazeh. It wasn't us. We didn't deliberately ignore him. That's what the Altman of Vardok explains. Mislabotka. Therefore, how important it is. Maybe a new resident comes, a new member comes to town. Someone who comes to your shul, a visitor. Say Shalom Aleichem. Just give him. Just say those words can make such a difference to a newcomer. He feels that someone looks after me. I exist. I'm not transparent. So we saw the Torah Tmima, who says that maybe physically he was lacking the food, he was too weak to fight back. We saw the Alto Mr. Botka, who says that maybe mentally he wasn't up to it, he fell down, he wasn't fighting back. But the Ibn Ezra has a different explanation. The Ibn Ezra, right on the spot, says Ibn Ezra, twice he says this. Why is it we measure from the nearest city? What's it got to do with them? How do you know he came from? How do you know that this person came from the nearest city? Mazakashur. Says Ibn Ezra, because had it been that the nearest city, that the Ben Odom and Chaveroi, the way they interact with each other would have been as it's supposed to be, it wouldn't have happened though it should be a murder in their vicinity. Says Ibn Ezra, the way people behave influences their surroundings, their environments. And the Torah is saying, you're a kraver, you didn't commit the murder, you're not responsible for the murder. But the fact there's a murder in your vicinity, in your area, Ha'ira Kreva, they're mistaken by you. There's a lack of avas habriyos. Because had it been that you have proper avas, apriya, you love, respect each other, you care for each other, it wouldn't have happened in your vicinity, in your area, that someone would come and kill and want to kill his friends. And says Ibn Ezra again in the very last pasuk of the parasha, the very last pasuk is Vato Tavair Hadama Noki Mikir Becho Kisasa Yoshor Beinei Hashem. How will you stop spitting Dam Noki Kisasa Yoshor Beinei Hashem? If you will do the Yashar, then it will prevent these bads from happening. As much as you can, in your vicinity at least. We learn from here a very important insight. People want to influence each other. People want to make programs. Mchazik. Make a movement. The way to influence other people, it has to come from you. You have to work on yourself. The Magid Midubna writes in the Ol Yaakov in Parshas Tazria, writes, he went to visit his Rebbe, the Goyim Mivilna. The Magid Midubna was a Magid. He would influence people and speak. And he went to the Goyim Mivilna and he asked the Goyim, how should I be Mashpia? How should I influence other people? Said the Goyen, he told her back to him, Marshal, you have a big Kiddush cup, and you have smaller cups to fill in. The way to fill the smaller cups is to keep on pouring into the big Kiddush cup till it will overflow into the smaller cups around it. That was the Marshal the Goyen of Vilna told him. You want to influence other people, you want to impact them, it has to be that you are so full that it spills out of you. But if you're half empty, it's not going to work. And this is the sight we see over here, that the ashpa, the way they behave, influence their surroundings. My Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Kamil, said that this Ibn Ezra is a Mefurash Gemara. We have a parasha in the Torah called Baba Machteres. Baba Machteres means someone who's tunneling into someone else's house. He's digging an underground tunnel to penetrate someone else's house. So the din is we can kill him. Why should a person get killed for stealing? Because we understand his psychology. He knows that the owner of the house will not stand by and let himself get robbed. And the owner of the house will try and kill him. And therefore the gunner is entering Al-Dazi, if necessary, he'll kill the Barabais. This has murder in linked into this type of gneva. Baba Machteres is a murder, it comes to kill. Says the Gemara in Mayot Katan Chofei Amud Beis, that when Rav Eliashiv died, Rav Eliashiv is one of the Amoraim, when he died, Ichteru Shivin Machtarta Benardo, 70 tunnels were dug into Narado after he died. What does that mean? And what happened when he was alive? What happened? So when he was alive, what happened? There was no. So here's the Mefurash Gemara, that the person, the great person, protects and prevents Averas from happening in the surroundings. Which is exactly the story of the Ibn Ezra. But had it been that the Ira Kroiva, that the Ben Odom Nachaveroi, the Ava Sabrios is the way it's supposed to be, it wouldn't have happened to have these negative things in the surroundings. Mamash, what the Gemara says. Anyway, it's a message for us that if you want to influence our family, our friend, our environment, our shul, our friends, it has to come from us. That we, if we work on ourselves, that will influence the other people. The pasuk says in Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Tet Zayin, talking about the king. Certain restrictions in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet Zayin, Rak lo yarbe lo isusim, you cannot have too many horses, lo yashi v'sa'om mitzrayimo laman harbo isus, you shouldn't bring the nation back to Mitzrayim to get horses. Egypt was the center to buy horses. Ask the Chofetz Chaim. Pasach beloshen rabim, the sim beloshen yochid. The pasach starts off by saying, "Rak lo yarbo lo susim." Shouldn't have too many horses in the plural. For Yoshev is the omitz raima leman harbo sus in the singular. We start off talking about horses in the plural, and we end off with horses, a horse in the singular. Says the Chofetz Chaim, a person has a business. The Yetzer Hara tempts the person. Open your store on Shabbos. The Yetzer Hara wants to tempt him. So what's going to happen? The Yetzer Hara, will the Yetzer Hara come and say, Yankele, you need to open your store on Shabbos. Why? Because you can make $10. Is that going to work? Huh? No. It's not. There's nothing to talk about. But if the Yetzer Hara comes and says, Yankele, if you open the store this Shabbos, it's the end of season, you'll make $10 million. Here, yesh amar daber, there's something to talk about. There's a real temptation. So that means to persuade the person to be chal Shabbos, $10 won't talk to him. He has to speak a really big temptation. Then he has a real trial and battle to keep the store open on Shabbos or to close it. But if you were a person who fell, he opened the store on Shabbos to make the 10 million. Next week, how much will the Yetzer Hara have to tempt him to open the store again? Does it also have to be 10 million for next week? Huh? Less. It went down. Now, you did it once. Next week, you can open again 5 million. Halavai. Within time, it won't take long to that person for $10 will open his store. It won't take long. No, he'd open his store for nothing. That's the Koach Yetzer Hara. Person does a chet. It's never the same again. Next time, he lost his sensitivity. Now it's easier for him to transgress the chet. The more he does it again and again, $10. It's worth it for him. That's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah commands the king, don't have many horses. But if he will transgress what the Torah says, then the Yoshev is the Omitzvayim and the Manar Boy Sus. Not even for one horse, he'll do it. Something we have to take to heart. Person speaks Lashon Hara. First time was big, but then it comes cheap, comes easy. Not to fall into that trap. Our last point for today, for this part. In Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Tes, Kisishmar is called a mitzvah, Zois la Soiso, Asher Noichi, Mitzavach Hayoim, Laavos Hashem Eloikecho. You're supposed to love Hashem. Velo Leches Bedrachov. To go in His ways, Kol Hayomim, all the days. What does it mean, Leches Bedrachov? What does it mean to follow Hashem's ways? Are we supposed to make the sun rise and set and bring the winter and the summer? What does it mean we're supposed to follow Hashem's ways? Should we make people die? What does it mean, Aleches Bedrachov? Oh, so Chazal tell us, Mahu Malbish Arumim, he dresses the naked, Mevakeh Choylim, visits the sick, Menachem Avelim, Choyver Mesim. So too you should also do the same things. To do good things, he's good to people, we should emulate his ways, and also Ben Adam Chaveroi, to imitate him. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Shmiras HaLoshon, in Chelek Beis, Pasuk of Gimel. But in this pasuk, there's an addition in this pasuk. It says, "Leches v'drachov kol hayomim." Some mitzvahs you could do, a one-time mitzvah. It's good to do every so often. The lulav, the shofar, the matzah. But some mitzvahs have to be a way of life. It's wonderful to do one-time chesed. Don't get me wrong. But a leches v'drachov has to be continuous. It has to be a way of life. It's a leches v'drachov kol hayomim, all the days. In 5 minutes' time, we'll have our next shir. Our next shir, I'm stupid enough. The Gemara says, en shoyta nivga. A stupid person doesn't realize being hit. So I'm a fool to talk about the topic of smoking. Is it mutter to smoke? Is it also to smoke? I probably lose lots of friends. But that's what I chose to speak about. It's connected to this week's parasha. So anyone who would like to is welcome to stay. So we should be zeicha to have to take to heart all the messages of Parashat Shoftim. And thank you very much. Shabbos.